JW Mobile.
4 NNR Mobile.
DNR, W4DJW, how's it going?
I'm good, but this is K4 NNR, Nancy Romeo. What about you?
NNR, sorry about that. KO4 NNR. I'm just coming home from the airfield, so nobody broke anything, so it's a good day.
Jeremy, I guess you went up flying a little bit on the, is it RC plane, or what kind of plane is it?
Yeah, Steve, KN4 VWA, Steve got a new one and hasn't been flown yet. They've been wanting to fly it, but it hasn't been a good opportunity till now. So went up there and he flew it. He took off and flew it around a little bit and landed it. And I think he did that a couple of times and didn't break anything. It's a new one. It's called a MAL. It's RC, like you're saying. It's RC. Had a good time and didn't break anything. There's another guy out there flying a Corsair. And he didn't break anything either, so it was a good day. It was kind of windy, though, overcast, kind of hard to see on the backdrop of the sky when the sky is white like that instead of blue. But still, all in all, no problems.
I'm about getting in one time, so I started looking at the prices, and, you know, I'm not good at video games or anything like that. I figured I'd probably waste my money and crash it and wouldn't even get it going. But I've seen a bunch of people flying, and all that's a cool thing to be able to do, for sure.
Unfortunately, a lot of people who try to learn it on their own do have that same problem. They tear them up, and then it's very, very short-lived. They don't stick with the hobby very long. Because it is, I mean, you got to understand when you're flying RC, they're all going to come down one way or another. And it could be a way that you're intending for it to come down, or it could be otherwise.
You think it'd be the hard part of getting it up, the main thing is getting it down and getting it down in one piece. That'd be the challenge for it, for sure.
If on the earth is good, that's safe, getting it, but most of the time people, once it's up in the air, they want to get it back down on the ground. And it's that interface with the ground that's the hard part. That's the danger. That's the critical point. So I tell people when I'm teaching them, get it up there in the air. Get it 3 or 4 mistakes high and enjoy it a little bit, right? Because you never know when it's going to break up. Don't be so in such a hurry to get it back on the ground.
My buddy's got some of them drones, and of course they watch it on their tablets and stuff like that. But that's pretty neat too. But I figured RC flying it by plane remote like that, it's a little bit more challenging for sure. Because you don't really get to see other than what you see with your eyes and all. So that'd be pretty challenging.
You're right. It's much more difficult to fly RC than it is to fly multirotors that have video coming back to you in the form of goggles or tablet or any of that form. I know I fly RC with goggles sometimes, and it is so much easier. Put those goggles on, and that puts you in the cockpit of the airplane. And that is so much easier than having to do that mental flip when it's going away from you versus coming at you. That mental flip can be really, really hard, especially if you're turning from left to right or turning from right to left. Some people are usually better at one than they are at the other. And it can get confusing. You can roll that stick the wrong way, and it'll go down in a heartbeat. W4DJW.
And a buddy of mine, his dad used to fly them all the time, and we'd go in there and watch him, and it was neat. I mean, he had a couple of planes out there. I don't know what they really were and all, but he used to fly them all the time. He loved them. But he spent some money on them, that's for sure. I mean, it's just about like ham radio. I guess the sky's the limit how much money you want to spend. KO4 NNR.
RW4DJW. That's true. That's with most any hobby. Right. You can go from bare minimum to sinking your whole paycheck in them if you're not careful. That's just the way it works. Those guys that fly the jets, I think they do that. Some of those jets cost more than a new car. And you got to realize they're all going to go on the ground. I don't know how they handle it when it goes on the ground, when one of those new jets goes on the ground. Because those can easily be $30,000 to $40,000. And I've seen them up at, I saw one of them do that crash and burn, physically burn, at the Joe Nall a few years ago. And that just tears your heart out when you see something like that. W4DJW.
Going short ground there, and I'd hope you'd have some kind of insurance or something on them. No, I don't, you know, 30 grand or something like that, and you know, but I don't know what the insurance would be on something like that, because it is such a big high risk of crashing it, for sure.
Well, that do have insurance on them. I have never had that. I've never even looked into it, but with the multivotors and filming, like you can do that for a living. You can use those to do 3D modeling of cell towers, and you do really, really good modeling, then you can get serial numbers, and they can use that rather than having to pay for somebody to climb the tower. And it's a lot cheaper for the companies to use 3D modeled cell tower renders than it is for them to send somebody up there. Because, you know, every foot they go up on the tower is a few hundred bucks for the person that's sending them up the tower. And that gets really, really expensive. So for those guys, yeah, I would think it would be worth it to get insurance because you're doing it for a living. For a hobbyist, though, it might be a little bit different. I don't know. I don't know. I've never really looked into it.
He does a bunch of drones. He does it for a living, basically for realtors everywhere. He shows houses off from the roof. He actually flies it through the house and around the house and does a really good job. He's actually done a couple weddings, too, with it and all. I mean, it's, you know, some talented people out there with some good toys. I mean, that's, you know, having fun doing it, for sure.
To be good at flying, you got to be good at cinema graphics, and you got to be good at editing video on a computer. Or you got to be that combines a whole bunch of skill sets to do that, unless he works for a company that has different people, each with their own skill set with doing that. But I would think that would be a lot of fun. I would enjoy a job like that much more than I enjoy my job I got now.
He's actually doing it, he kind of does it full-time, part-time. He's a firefighter in Greenwood, and every day he's off, he pretty much is flying, demoing houses and all kind of stuff. I mean, he shows all kind of stuff. He's actually done properties, I think he does some antennas, and he's done a little bit of everything, but he enjoys it. He started out with a guy that let him borrow one and got used to it, and he went out and bought two or three more drones himself, and he's booming with it, and he loves it.
This is Part 107 FAA exam as well, which is a remote pilot exam. In order to do that and be legal, you gotta take that test. And it's not that bad of a test. It does have some old stuff, old school stuff that pilots had to know years ago when weather predictions and being able to get your bearing on the weather was a whole lot more difficult than it is nowadays. And so you got to go back and learn that old stuff. But after you learn it, it's pretty easy. So he's probably got that Part 107 license as well if he's doing that.
I know he went and took some tests on it. I'm not sure exactly what all he did, but he went and got license and bought it insured, and I'm pretty sure he went and took the test that you're talking about, for sure.
Watch for a second to run in Starbucks and pick up some drinks, and then I'm going to head home. I'll probably pick you up on the way back out. W4DJW.
You standing by. This is KO4NNR.
DJW Mobile.
KN4VWA. Mobiling from the house to my building.
Busy. They're still booming. I quit going there a couple of years ago, I guess. And they're still booming like they were when I was going there.
I just cannot see a $10 cup of coffee.
But it was small change when I was working at Bank of America, Uptown Charlotte. I mean, everything is expensive up there. And it wasn't $10 for a cup of coffee either. It was less than half that.
Whatever that lingo is that they use. See, I'm not a coffee drinker. I don't even like the smell of coffee. Now, my wife can drink coffee on a 110-degree sunny afternoon at 4 o'clock. On the front porch and sit and drink the stuff black, but I cannot drink coffee. Ugh.
Tired anyway. you got a lot of energy. You're high energy as it is. You've always been that way. You were that way in school. I didn't need it till I turned 29. That's when I first started drinking coffee. third shift, working third shift at Michelin, 5 o'clock in the morning hit me like a ton of bricks. I mean, it was all I could do to keep my eyelids open, so I started drinking coffee, and it worked. It really, really worked. I drank coffee before 5 o'clock hit, and that brick wall never hit.
I'm one of those people, if the sun is up, I cannot sleep.
But third shift, you'd been able to. I had to black out the windows to sleep during the daytime because I was the same way. But when I got thick curtains that didn't let the sun come through, I could sleep during the daytime, no problem.
They've got a term for that biological clock, and, well, I don't remember what it is now, you know, old age is setting in, but my biological clock is pretty strong. I can just about tell you the time of day, even if I've been inside a building, you know, where you cannot see any outside, I can just about tell you about what time it is.
That's, I don't know that my clock is, my internal clock is that good. Other than work a third shift and knowing when 5 o'clock was coming. Because that, it'd just be like somebody put a ton of bricks on you. You can just feel it. But, I know now that I don't ever work third shift. I know between 5 and 6 o'clock, my eyes just pop open every morning. Just pop wide open and it's like, time to be awake. There's like no lingering or anything like that. When you're getting up, it's like you're asleep 1 second and you're wide awake the next.
What time do you go to bed at night?
Got anything going or not? All right, it can be as early as 9:30 or it can be as late as 1 o'clock in the morning or anywhere in between.
Well, wake up and just pop open and be ready to go. That just tells you that you're getting a good night's sleep, which is a good thing, bud.
Regardless, if I stay awake thinking all night long and I can't sleep that night, that still happens. I can't understand it. It's like if you haven't slept, it seems like you would want to sleep longer. And it used to be that way for me. It's just not that way anymore. As I get older, it's just that's changed. It's kind of like liking vegetables. I used to hate them. Now I like them. Now I can't get enough of them.
He'll tell you just what you need. Did you ever get into a loop where if you had a problem that was driving you nuts really tough and, you know, it was just really on your mind and, thanks, and you go in circles trying to figure it out and, oh, I'm good, I'm talking on the radio.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the Amazon guy thought I was talking to him. So, anyhow, and you just get caught in that loop, and you cannot go to sleep because of that?
I mean, being software development, I ran into that situation a lot. And sometimes where I couldn't figure it out, I'd be sound asleep. It'd be 3 o'clock in the morning or 4 o'clock in the morning, and I would wake up, and the answer would be in my head, and I would have to get out of bed. I could get a pencil and a piece of paper, and I would write it down, and then I would go back to bed. And then the next day I would get up and I'd grab that piece of paper and I'd go write that algorithm and it worked like a charm. That's your subconscious working for you.
I've done that so many times. Man, I tell you what. Get some circuit, timing system circuit that, you know, back in the day when we were converting from analog to digital and they would try to do a combination of both. Oh, my God, it was just miserable electronics, and I'd get stuck on a problem, and I'd do the same thing you're talking about. Just sit up in the middle of the bed and go, oh, shoot, that's what's wrong, and Sue just smacked me and made me go back to sleep. The next day, I'd go back out to that job site. Sure enough, right there it is.
That's really, really strange. Sometimes we do that back when I used to smoke. We'd go out, and we'd be, there'd be two or three of us working on it. We'd go out and take a smoke break, and we'd start talking about something that didn't have anything to do with what we were working on. And before that smoke break was over, we would have the answer. We'd go back up there and program it. Done. Anyway, I'm pulling in the favorite parking space, so I'm going to take Amy her coffee and Bernice's delicious food here, and I'll talk to you later. Enjoyed the flying today, W4DJW. I'll be clear after you.
I've enjoyed it so much. 73's, bud. Go in there and enjoy. K4VWA, I'm clear.